In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that?
Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is brought to you by Pelican Brewing, independently brewing on the Oregon coast since 1996. Discover even more flavors from your local coast with Pelican's new craft sodas. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker time on a Thursday. I got to get my hands on some of those craft sodas. I saw you went out and already purchased some.
Cream soda's delightful. Had it yesterday.
It looks so good.
Yeah.
It looks so good.
It was good.
It's also, do you know, summertime. Kids got like 1 week left in school. It's almost here. Summertime is around the corner. And they got four coastal locations to take the fam, take everybody out to the beach. It's going to be beautiful weather from here on out. Cannon Beach, Tillamook, Pacific City, and the newest one at the south end of Lincoln City overlooking Siletz Bay. Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach. Let's talk some NBA Finals with our good buddy, live from Oklahoma City, Ben Golliver, who you know and love, national NBA writer for the Washington Post, at Ben Golliver on Twitter. Go give him a follow. Ben, good morning to you. Did you? What was the experience surviving a tornado like in your cruise to OKC?
You know, it's pretty wild. You guys are talking about the beach. I'm only like, 800 miles from a beach right now here in the middle of the country. It sounded pretty good. That ad read sounded pretty good, guys. I got a little taste of the tornado lifestyle, actually. I think it was during the Western Conference Finals, maybe the end of that second round series against Denver. They're not playing around out here. I mean, they know how to handle it, so you just got to have to ask the locals, you know, what do you do? But a whole bunch of NBA employees got shuttled into the basement of a hotel because the tornado sirens were going off the other night. But thankfully, I think it passed through pretty quickly, and everybody's ready for game one. Both teams made it. The Pacers' plane was diverted for a little bit to Tulsa, but they showed up a couple hours later than expected, and everybody was ready to go for media day yesterday. They're ready to go for game one tonight.
Before we dive in fully to the basketball and get your thoughts, you did a road trip from Indy down to OKC. It took you a few days. You stopped at a Lincoln, I believe the hometown of Lincoln, had the family Bible, the cabin. Overrated, underrated experience?
Oh, I think Kentucky is underrated, man. I know there's a lot of stereotypes out there about Kentucky, but it is beautiful country. I mean, the great forests. They had a huge Mammoth Cave National Park, which I'd never been to. The Lincoln birth home was cool. It wasn't the real home. They made it Duke.
Oh,
you know, I don't know if they bought it, online somewhere for cheap, a replica, you know, but the original home didn't hold up for like 200 years. But we understand why that would be. But beautiful country, highly recommended. And, you know, the road trip was just because, you know, you stay on the road for so long, like a month during the playoffs, it starts to get to you a little bit. What's better than some open road, crank the music up, you know, see some national parks. It sounds like a great time, right?
What was the top artist on your cross country, but you get my point. What was the top artist on your playlist that you were jamming out to?
I go back to the 90s classics, man. Tupac, I'm a pretty basic guy when it comes to the music. I wouldn't say I've got any great recommendations. A lot of podcasts as well, listening to the NBA Finals preview stuff, trying to figure out where people are coming down.
Now, is it something like you get into Kentucky and you're bumping Hit 'Em Up, and then you see people in Kentucky and you turn it down like the guy in
Country
Office
Roads comes
bit,
on
like,
all of a sudden?
Oh, I'm turn that down.
Yeah, I do like to do that every once in a while, just like search on Apple Music, Kentucky, right? And then just play whatever they say the essential songs are. And then you start to like, you know, talk like the locals talk, which is always a little weird because they know you're not a local. So you got to be careful with the, picking up accents along the way for sure.
I'm excited about the finals. I don't know what to expect yet. I don't know if we're going to get back, you know, just blowout win after blowout win, how close this series will truly be. I do think the Pacers can win a couple games here. Your thoughts on the matchup and how much of the regular season stuff do you apply to the postseason?
Well, I'll be honest, the playoff stuff is really what's more on my mind just because it's fresher, right? And I've had the luxury of seeing OKC here the last couple of rounds. They've scared me straight. You know, I have to write about every single one of their games. They win half of them by 30. The games are over shortly after halftime. You look around and say, well, what are you supposed to write? They did it again. You know, they make it difficult on the writers in the sense that they're so consistent and they're so great and their defense is so powerful that it starts to feel a little bit redundant. They're just a machine, and I think that's really the challenge for the Pacers. I mean, they're coming out of this Eastern Conference bracket I really was hardly impressed with any of the teams over there. I mean, the New York Knicks, they're out clubbing the day after their season ends. They knew they weren't going to win the championship. I mean, give me a break, right? So that's not the hugest test for a conference finals, you know, and obviously it's a big deal for Indiana to win the East for the first time in 25 years. But the Cleveland Cavaliers were a little banged up in the second round. So I think they're going to have a real adjustment here is my point. I mean, they're going to be going from like third gear to sixth gear real quick, trying to keep up with this Oklahoma City juggernaut. But, you know, I think most of the conversation around this series will focus on Oklahoma City's defense and Indiana's offense, because Indiana's offense is just so exciting with Tyrese Haliburton leading the way. I actually think the series is going to be decided on the other end with Oklahoma City's offense and Indiana's defense. I think Indiana's defense is the weakest link in this particular matchup. I don't think that they've really been tested all that much during the playoffs. I think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is just on a different level right now in terms of 30 points every single night, leading his team nice and consistent, not getting ahead of himself one step at a time, you know, great mental focus. And so to me, I think that the Pacers are going to have a hard time slowing him down. And I think the Thunder, you know, because they're so good defensively, they're great in transition. They get a lot of easy buckets. They're getting really good play right now from their co-stars, Jalen Williams and Chet Holmgren. I think that's just going to be too much for the Pacers. And I've got Thunder in five.
Wow. Ben Golliver's our guest, Washington Post national NBA writer. He's also the author of Bubble Ball, and he is the co-host of the Greatest of All Talk podcast. And you can follow him on Twitter to watch him running from tornadoes, Ben.Golliver on IG, and give him a follow on Twitter at Ben Golliver. And you kind of answered my next question that I was going to ask you, Ben. Like, if you were putting money on the over-under of, like, 5.5 games, you think under on this that it's going to be a quick series?
Look, they're just really, really good, the Oklahoma City Thunder. And I think the one thing you can count on with them, even if their three-point shot isn't going, and it really hasn't been for a lot of the playoffs, they give themselves this huge margin for error because of their you know, their defensive energy and intensity. And I just think they match up really cleanly with the Pacers, right? The Pacers' offense, it's all about the guards. It's all about the perimeter shooters. And it's all about the spacing. Well, the Thunder are always glad to go small. They love playing small. They're kind of at their best when they play small. And they've got this endless list of perimeter defenders, whether it's Lou Dort, Alex Caruso, Cason Wallace, who is an absolute stud for the Thunder, a young guy. They could just rotate those players on Haliburton and rotate them on Nesmith and try to lock those guys up and slow them down. And so I think the team that gave the Thunder the most problems, obviously, was Denver, because they had the Joker. The Joker's huge, unbelievable passer, unbelievable scorer. And obviously the Pacers, they don't have a player of that caliber, and they don't have a player of that size either. So I think the Pacers, they kind of just match up very cleanly in terms of how Oklahoma City wants to play. And the other factor here that we really should not underrate, and it's because it reminds me a little bit of the Rose Garden back in the days when, you know, Brandon Roy was hitting playoff game winners and that place was going nuts. Oklahoma City, the crowd is just insane. The home court advantage for them all season long has been amazing. I think they've lost 7 home games since October total, like all season long and in the playoffs. And the only playoff loss they had at home was that crazy one where they blew it at the end, which they really should have won anyways, right? So they're winning some of these games by 20, 25 points. And, you know, the crowd is chanting and screaming and waving flags and just going bonkers. I think it's going to be a really, really tough place to play. If they get up 2-0 in this series, I could definitely see it ending in 5. And that's why I would say under 5.5.
Curious your thoughts on the coaching situations in the NBA. Tibbs loses his job for getting to the Final Four. The Suns have hired a 40-year-old that nobody had heard of before.
Blazers extend their coach for winning 36 games.
Oh, that's a plus 15 increase. I'm just kind of curious, Ben, your takeaways from some of the coaching decisions, whether being hired, extended, or fired.
Tough time to be an NBA coach. I mean, it's not a bad job. If you get fired, you get to keep all your millions. Like Tibbs gets what, like $30 million to not coach for these next couple of years. That's pretty good. But I think what you're seeing right now, it's a very disorienting time in the NBA, right? Because the whole big three model of loading up with superstars, that's kind of on the way out. You're seeing the teams that are winning, they're really winning with depth. I kind of call it like a medium 10. Like the Pacers and the Thunder, they play 10 guys, sometimes more than that. They don't have the LeBron James at his peak, the Kevin Durant at his peak. They weren't really assembled by, you know, these free agency power moves. Like, that's just not how they were built. So the medium 10 model is kind of taken over for Indiana and Oklahoma City. And I think for a lot of the organizations, you're always trying to keep up with the Joneses, and you're trying to figure out, like, well, how can we pivot here? How can we do things differently? The Suns are a perfect example. They tried to build the big three. I mean, it turned out to be basically a big zero. Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, they win nothing together. They don't work together. They're injured constantly. And so then now they have to completely construct that entire thing. They're probably going to have to trade Kevin Durant. They can't trade Bradley Beal because of that no-trade clause. Maybe somebody will throw them a lifeline this summer. We'll see. And so they just have to totally pivot. And that's why they go with a young coach, because they realize they have to go a different direction. So I think a lot of the coaching shakeups this summer, it's really about teams grappling with the new NBA reality. And for the Knicks, what they're saying is, like, we can't undo our moves from last summer. We already spent a lot of draft picks getting Karl-Anthony Towns and getting Mikal Bridges. Our group is who it is, so we don't have the luxury of trying to pivot from a roster standpoint. We need to find a coach who can take us that next step, who can be more creative offensively, who can get us over the top to compete with a team like Indiana or Cleveland, who's probably going to be back next year at the top of the Eastern Conference Finals. So, I just think some different motivations, around the league. But I do think we're in a big transition period right now.
Very against it. But I got to ask you, were you surprised, not surprised, expected it? Chauncey was extended at the end of the season.
Yeah, I thought it probably was time to go a different direction there, because the team changed that from under him, after he got hired. And I just think that there was probably, a better coach, fitting for this moment for the Blazers. But, he showed a little bit of progress from the previous year. I'm just not sure it's good enough. I think the hope for the Blazers fans actually comes from some of the breakout players they had this past season, whether it's Danny Avdia or Toumani Kamara. Those guys fit that medium 10 model that I'm talking about, right? Mm-hmm. Like, where you could imagine them playing for the Oklahoma City Thunder. You could imagine those guys fitting in with how the Indiana Pacers play. Now, the Blazers' problem is none of their highest-paid players fit this model at all. They're not reliable. They're not two-way players. They don't bring it every single night. They don't leave a major impact on the game. And so I think for Portland, the challenge is going to be, can you move off of some of your veterans who just don't have it? And then can you sort of retool around some of these younger guys that are showing you they're here to play every single night, they can make an impact defensively, and they want to work? Because right now, that's the model. If you're a small market franchise, you have hope. I mean, this is Oklahoma City versus Indianapolis. I'm driving between the cities because it's a small market flyover country cities, right? Normally, I'm not driving from Boston to L.A. for the finals, right? So I think this is a moment of opportunity for a team like the Blazers. The parity era is here in the NBA. We're going to have seven different champions over the past seven seasons. And so for Portland, I think the pressure actually falls on the front office. It's time to wheel and deal. It's time to make some moves. It's time to, try to shake this up. If your formula is not working, you can't get left behind by just sitting there.
Yeah, don't worry. They already got their star on the roster. Ben Golliver, at Ben Golliver on Twitter. Go give him a follow. National NBA writer for the Washington Post, Bubble Ball author, co-host of the Greatest of All Talk podcast. And give him a follow on IG, ben.golliver.
Great IG follow.
He's a great IG follow. He'll randomly hit a story of mine with a heart. It just makes me feel good. From Ben Golliver just hits different than a heart from somebody else. Ben Golliver, enjoy the finals. We always appreciate the time. Let's do this again soon.
Let's do it. But who's the star? I'm confused.
Oh, that was the line the Blazers said. He said, how do we know we don't already have our star
Chauncey
on the team?
We might already have our star on the roster
right now.
Just didn't name it who it was.
All right. Well, I'm going to go study the roster, try to figure out who it is. I'll be back to you guys later. All right.
Good stuff. Ben Golliver of the Washington Post. Talking some NBA Finals, the Daily Ticker. As always, brought to you by our wonderful friends at Pelican Brewing Company. They invite you to take a beach break at one of their four coastal locations, Cannon Beach, Tillamook, Pacific City, and the newest one at the south end of Lincoln City overlooking Siletz Bay. Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach. That cream soda looks so good. I love a good cream soda.
I hadn't had a cream soda in a long time.
It's been
yesterday.
A minute since I've had a cream soda.
It was delicious.
It's also been a minute since I've had a root beer, too.
How about a root beer float?
God, root beer float sounds so good.
A little Tillamook vanilla.
It's going to be
95 on Sunday.
What?
Yeah.
On Sunday, it's going to be 95?
That's what I'm
seeing.
I told
my daughter this, and she goes, oh, my God. I'm like, we're going to be in a gym. We're at a basketball tournament.
Yeah, I mean, you'll be fine.
She goes, I got to walk from the door to the gym.
You'll be all right. Yeah, when you get out of the loop on stuff when you move, because I woke up yesterday, and I'm like, what the hell is raining? What is this?
Well, we had a weather guy.
We had stuff outside. It got wet. I was like, I thought we were in the summer here. Nobody gave me the alert.
Did you see this weather guy in Florida, this viral video? This weather guy in Florida is like, hey, I got to be honest with you guys. they've gutted the living hell out of our weather
system.
So we
don't know anymore.
So we're going to start losing more and more accuracy on our weather predictions.
Here's what I think's going to happen kind of thing. You're telling me like it's a Sprague in the line bet now? Like,
yes.
Give me the Pacers plus 9.5.
They should shoot their weather reports.
Dirt, he says they're worried.
With the guy in a car rolling his window down. Just looking out.
Looks like it's a little buggy out here today, guys.
He says they're worried that they're not going to be able to accurately predict how intense hurricanes are.
Nice. That's a good thing. Who needs to know that information?
Government efficiency.
Taking the over or the under? Let's get to that next.